In yesterday's episode, Thor and Loki traveled through Midgard on their way to Jotunheim to see the giant king in his castle.
We can't wait until morning. We must eat now.
On the way,
a bone of this goat has been broken under your roof.
They picked up a traveler, Thalfi.
For that, I shall destroy your house and leave you all dead under it.
He would accompany them all the way to Utgard.
To Utgard in Jotunheim.
In their travels, they would come across Skyrim, the giant, and he would take them to Utgard in Jotunheim. Join us now as Thor and Loki explore the giant city of Utgard.
Thor and Loki in the Giant City, Part 2.
Giants were going up and down in the streets. They were not so huge as Skymir would have them believe, Loki noticed. Utgard was the Asgard of the giants, but in its buildings there was not a line of beauty that was in the palaces of the gods. Gladsheim and Blendeblick and Falsleer, huge but shapeless the buildings arose, like mountains or icebergs. Oh, beautiful Asgard, with the domes above it of the deepest blues. Asgard, with the clouds around it, it heaped up like mountains of diamonds. Asgard, with its rainbow bridge and its glittering gates. Oh, beautiful Asgard, could it be that these giants would one day overthrow you? Loki and Thor and the lad Thalfi went into the palace of the king. The hammer that Thor gripped would, they knew, make them safe even there. And they passed between the rows of the giant guards and came to the king's seat.
"We know you, Thor and Loki," said the giant king, "and we know that Thor has come to Utgard to try his strength against the giants. We shall have a contest tomorrow. Today there are sports for our boys. If your young servant should try his swiftness against our youth, let him enter the race today."
Now Thalfi was the best runner in Midgard, and all the time that he had been with them, Loki and Thor had trained him in quickness, and so Thalfi was not fearful of racing against giants' youths. The king called on one named Hugi and placed him against Thalfi. The pair started together. Thalfi sped off. Loki and Thor watched the race anxiously, for they thought that it would be well for them if they had a triumph over the dwellers of Utgard in their first contest. But they saw Hugi leave Thalfi behind, and they saw the giant youth reach the winning post, circle around it, and come back to the starting place before Thalfi reached the end of the course. Thalfi, who did not know how it was that he had been beaten, asked that he be let to run the race with Hugi again. The pair started off once more, and this time it did not seem to Thor and Loki that Hugi left the starting place at all. He was back there almost as soon as the race had started. They came back from racing around the palace, and the giant king and his friends, with Thor and Loki, sat down to the supper table.
"Tomorrow," said the king, "we shall have our greatest contest, where Asir Thor will show us his power. Have you, Asgard, ever heard of one who would enter the contest in eating? We might have a contest in eating at his supper board. If we could just get one who would match himself with Loki here, he could eat more than anyone in Jotunheim."
"And I," said Loki, "I can eat more than any two in Jotunheim. I will match myself against your Loki."
"Good," said the giant king, and all the giants present said, "Good, this will be a sight worth seeing."
And they put scores of plates along the sides of the table, each plate filled with meat, and Loki began at one end, and Logi began at the other, and they started to eat, moving towards each other, as each cleared a plate. Plate after plate was emptied, and Thor, standing by with the giants, was amazed to see how much Loki ate, but Logi, on the other side, was leaving plate after plate emptied, and at last the two stood together, scores of plates on either side of them.
"Hey, it's not defeated me," cried Loki. "I have cleared just as many plates as your champion, O King of the Giants."
"But you have not cleared them so well," said the giant. "Loki has eaten all the meat that was upon them," said Thor. "But Loki has eaten the bones with the meat," said the giant king. "Look and see if it's not so."
Thor went to all the plates, and where Loki had eaten, the bones were left on the plates. And where Loki had eaten, nothing was left. Bones as well as the meats were consumed, and all the plates were left bare.
"We are beaten," said Thor to Loki.
Tomorrow, Thor, said Loki, you must show all your strength, or the giants will cease to dread the might of the dwellers in Asgard.
Be not afraid, said Thor. No one in Jotunheim will triumph over me.
The next day, Thor and Loki came into the great hall of Utgard. The giant king was there with a throng of his friends. Thor marched into the hall with Mjolnir, his great hammer in his hand.
All young men have been drinking out of this horn, said the king, and they want to know if you, as a Thor, would drink out of its morning draught. But I must tell you that they think that no one in the Æsir could empty the horn in one draught. Give it to me, said Thor. There is no horn that you can hand me that I cannot empty in a draught.
The great horn, brimmed and flowing, was brought over to him, and handing Mjolnir to Loki, and bidding him to stand so that he might keep the hammer in sight, Thor raised the horn to his mouth, and he drank and drank, and he felt sure that not a drop was left in the horn when he laid it on the ground.
There, he gasped, your giant's horn is drained.
The giants looked within the horn and laughed.
"'Drained, Asa Thor,' said the Giant King. "'Look into the thorn again. "'You have hardly drunk below the rim.'
And Thor looked into it and saw that the horn was not half emptied, and then in a mighty rage he lifted it to his lips again, and he drank and he drank and drank. Then, satisfied that he had emptied it into the bottom, he left the horn on the ground and walked over to the other side of the hall.
"'Thor thinks that he's drained the horn,' said one of the giants, lifting it up. "'But see, friends, what remains in it?'
Thor struck back and looked again into the horn. It was still half filled. He turned around to see that the giants were laughing at him.
Arthur Thor, Arthur Thor, said the giant king, we know not how you're going to deal with us in the next feat, but you certainly are not able to drink against the giants.
Said Thor,
I can lift up and set down any being in your hall.
And as he said this, a great iron-coloured cat bounded into the hall and stood before Thor, her back arched and her fur bristling.
"'Then lift the cat off the ground,' said the giant king.
Thor strode to the cat, determined to lift her up and fling her amongst the mocking giants. He put his hands to the cat, but he could not raise her up. Up, up went Thor's arms, and up, up, as high as they could go. And the cat's arched back went up to the roof, but her feet were never taken off the ground, and as he heaved and heaved with all of his might, he heard the laughter of the giants all around him. He turned away, his eyes flaming with anger.
I am not wont to try and lift cats, he said. Bring me one to wrestle with, and I swear you shall see me overthrow him.
Here is one for you to wrestle with, Asa Thor, said the king.
And Thor looked around and saw an old woman hobbling towards him. She was blear-eyed and toothless.
This is Elli, my ancient nurse, said the giant king. She is the one we would have you wrestle with. Thor does not wrestle with old women. I will lay my hands on the tallest giant instead. Elli has come to where you are, said the giant king. Now it is she who will lay hands upon thee.
The old woman hobbled towards Thor, her eyes gleaming under her failing fringes of grey hair. Thor stood, unable to move, as the hag came towards him. She laid her hands upon his arms, and her feet began to trip at his. He tried to cast her from him, but he found that her feet and her hands were as strong against his as bands and stakes of iron. Then began a wrestling match in earnest between Thor and the ancient crone Elli. Round and round the hall they wrestled, and Thor was not able to bend the old woman backwards nor sideways. Instead, he became less and less able under her terrible grasp. She forced him down and down, and at last he could only save himself from being prone on the ground by throwing himself down to one knee and holding the hag by the shoulders. She tried to force him down on the ground, but she could not do that. Then she broke from him, hobbled to the door, and went out of the hall. Thor rose up and took the hammer from Loki's hand. Without a word, he went out of the hall and along the ways towards the gates of the giant's city. He spoke no words to Loki, nor to the lad Thalfi, who went with him for the 7 weeks that they journeyed through Jotunheim.
This podcast was created under the attribution non-commercial share-alike 4.0 license. Music, A Viking's Tale, was downloaded from Shutterstock and is performed by Zeonium.